There. Whew. Okay. I'm Christine.
Hey, Chris.
That was excellent, Ryan. Thank you for sharing. Yeah, I've never used a mic before. So they don't tell you, but on day one, you'll climb up a 30-foot ladder. It's really small and it's metal. And you get onto the top of this very, very small platform. And they hand you a bar and they tell you to lean out with your toes over the edge of the platform. And they tell you to jump. Maybe if they pushed me, this could happen. But who the hell jumps? Like, I don't understand that at all. And yes, there's a net down there, but I have been in that net a million times, and it is not the trampoline or the clouds or the soft landing that I had envisioned. It's hard enough that you can walk on. It's hard enough. Really, it's just there to save your life from breaking your neck. That's all that it's there for. And I did it, and I was terrified the whole time. And even on the first day, they have a catcher on the other side of the trapeze net. And I was the only one in my class that did not get caught because I could not let go. I could not let go for three classes. Everyone else got caught except me because I was too afraid to let go. At some point, the catcher that I had, his name was Hans, and I flew for 8 years. I had had a few different catchers, and the catchers are all professional trapeze artists. Students are like me, they have a day job. Maybe they're students at a school, and that's what we do for fun. I don't know why I ever thought that would be fun. Actually, I didn't. I had shared with my husband forever ago that when I was like 7, I wanted to be Gina from Big Top Pee Wee, because she had a sequined leotard and she had really beautiful curly hair. And she did trapeze. But really, I just wanted to be Gina. I didn't actually want to do the trapeze, but he misunderstood that. And being the amazing codependent that he is, he found me a flying trapeze school, a circus school in Oakland. And he signed me up for a 10-session class. And it wasn't until I was out there holding on and leaning over and having to jump that I realized, yes, I really did have a fear of heights. Like, this was not something that I had made up. I really did have a fear of heights. And he wasn't even there for it. He was recuperating from surgery or something. But I did that for 8 years, and I never did it unafraid. I was always afraid, but I did it. This public speaking is petrifying to me. But it is service. And when I'm asked to do service, I say yes. So back to Hans. Hans was a big guy, thankfully, because he's got to catch me. So he better be a big guy. Long hair. I don't even know if it was always washed, but he would put it in a low bun, not like a man bun. This was way before that. He would put it in a low bun. And he would catch anything. I have seen some garbage tricks. He would catch anything. And when you are someone like me who is petrified to let go, there is something so reassuring about having somebody on the other side that when they catch you, and they're not going to drop you. They're not going to let you go. There is freedom in that. And how many times would I have missed the opportunity for doing something fun if I never had let go? And I will never tell Hans this, because I think that would be super awkward and change our relationship. But he gave me such a tangible visual of what higher power could be for me at a time when I needed it the most. I had to fire the God of my understanding, the God of my childhood, because it was a very judgmental God. And if I wasn't being good enough or perfect, there was just no trust there. I didn't have a loving higher power the way I do today. I did not have one until I was already in program. And Hans was that picture for me, that I could trust something bigger to always catch me, to have my best interest. I mean, I've seen Hans take a crotch shot to the face because that was a garbage trick that somebody threw, not me, somebody else. And he still caught it. I don't even know if he had all of his teeth after that, but he still caught it. He was amazing. He was unfailing. And I needed that. I needed that. But it helped me with step three. When I had put God on a timeout and I was already in program, but I just couldn't handle that we make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand him. Hans, to me, was what a higher power could be. There's a lot in circus that I can relate to working a program. Because when you're on the bar, when you're holding on, you're upside down, or you're doing the splits, or you're backwards, and you can't see the catcher, you have to wait for the call. I have to get ready. And when you get ready and you're going to call to your catcher to say, come get me, you say, listo. Listo means I'm ready. And Hans would have his back to me, so he can't see me, but it's all about timing. And so he gets into the backdrop of his catcher's bar, and then he calls me when it's time for me to jump. And I can't wait and think about it or make that to-do list or any of the overthinking that I am entirely capable and excel at. I have to jump when he says, hep, I have to, or I've missed that opportunity. We will not catch hands at the same time. That was a big trust issue for me. To wait, even if I could see it or not, but just to be listening, to be on standby, to not miss that opportunity for something exciting, something fun, if I could just get over my fear. I am the oldest of five girls in my family, no boys. Sorry, Brian. And I grew up in a dry home, super dry. We didn't even cook with any alcohol. Like, that was just not allowed. Both of my parents are children of alcoholics. And my mom is the older of two. And she had a violent alcoholic father. And he is my original qualifier. And he taught her to play it safe and be very good and quiet and tiny so that maybe you dodge some of those bullets. And that's what she brought when she was a mom. And she taught me how to be good and quiet to play it safe. That really did not work well for somebody like me, who pulled all the books off the bookshelf and shoveled handfuls of soil when she was on the phone. And then later on, I developed depression and I have had panic attacks. She didn't know what to do with somebody like me. And I was definitely labeled. And I know that she had a really hard time with a daughter like me. And my dad is very much more that we heard about it tonight, the stereotypical ACA. So he is hypercritical and judgmental, the black and white thinking, can't take any criticism, not even constructive criticism. And the running joke in my family, it's a terrible joke, is that I am still waiting for a text back from 2014 that says, I love you. And all you had to do was text me back and say, I love you too. My parents were not terrible people, even though that's why I went to therapy. They really weren't. They just grew up in homes affected by alcoholism. And then they took those broken tools and coping mechanisms into my family home. And they didn't have Al-Anon. I mean, they did, but they didn't go. They raised us with what they knew. And I've heard it everywhere. They did the best with what they had. And honestly, I think that they did. I do. I think that they did. It's too bad that they didn't have the support that I get here, that they didn't have a recovery program that teaches people like us how to live in a world like this with better, healthier coping skills, with tools that work. You know, I wouldn't wish that on anybody. that kind of an experience that they had to go through. But that's what I grew up in. That's what they grew up in. I received the gift of desperation when I'd been here for a couple years. Did not want to get a sponsor because I did not want to do step five, not with anybody. And so it took me too long, or maybe it was right on time. I got the gift of desperation. And it drove me to be desperate enough to do step five and all of the other steps. And so I got a sponsor. And I've worked the steps a couple times. I've worked the traditions. I've worked the concepts. I've worked the warranties. I have sponsees. I still have a sponsor, the same sponsor. And it was while I was working through, what book? Reaching for Personal Freedom. We have that workbook. Specifically through our step four, Blueprint for Progress book that we have, that I figured out who I was, learned who I was, and also found a way to love me, because I certainly hadn't growing up. And in the book, which I brought, there's all these different characteristics, and one of them is love. And with my sponsor, she said I could skip around, I could do any that I wanted. And love was the last one that I did, because the first question, and I'll read the preceding paragraph, it says, I needed love before I even knew what it was. And now that I understand something about it, I need it even more. By loving myself, I not only take care of my own needs, but I lay a foundation for loving others. And by loving others, I learn to treat myself well. And that's from Courage to Change. And the first question is, what do I love about myself? And for 11 months, I could not answer that question. I read the question and I just had some sort of a block and I could not answer it. And one night, for no reason, except that I guess I've been going to meetings and still meeting with people and doing the homework, it just poured out. And even though they only give you a little space to write, you probably can't see it from back here, but I wrote all over the page. And I'll read some of those, not all of them. I think there's 30 the last time I counted. I love that I am creative and artistic and expressive, that I am silly and animated. My brown eyes and their green and golden flecks. My strong arms, because I did flying trapeze, that I know how to garden, that I can sing in the car. Yes, only the car. That I save snails and earthworms. My smile, my eyebrow, which does like one of these things, was really helpful when we were wearing masks, honestly. I have a lot of things that are on here. And I couldn't get there without Al-Anon. I don't know why, but I couldn't. That was a game changer for me to learn how to love myself. Everything changed after that. Who I am today, thanks to Al-Anon and thanks to my higher power, is somebody that I actually like. And today, I would be my friend. And I definitely would not have said that before I got here. I was a very different person. By completing my fourth step, I developed compassion for myself and for other people. And I can live a better quality of life. And more often, I can love other people where they're at, not where I wanted them to be, which is really helpful because I have four younger sisters. I get to carry the message. And for me, Al-Anon is about self-acceptance and not self-improvement. And that is a relief because I have read all the self-help books and none of them helped me get here where I am today. Al-Anon is a gentle program. And when I forget that, my sponsor reminds me, you guys remind me. I don't have to use the mantra of suck it up, buttercup. And that's what I came here with. But that's not what I use anymore. I don't have to. Gosh, I don't have to. So one of the things I want to talk about tonight is autonomy, because I love the traditions. Did not before I did the workbook because I didn't understand them. But there's a lot of helpful questions that are in there. And there's a quote, it's not Al-Anon, Conference of Free Literature, but it's the fear of not being enough and the fear of being too much are exactly the same fear, the fear of being you. And because of people pleasing, I fully believed that. I was always looking for clues from you, not you, but people outside this room. Who did you want me to be? Because I would be exactly that, because that would keep me safe. And that's really all I cared about. So autonomy teaches me how to be my own person, that I am not catering to 10 different people in a room or in my office, which is like 14 different people, or these 6 people that are in my family. That is an overwhelming game, and it is draining. It is life sucking. There's the whole roller coaster that I won't go into, but I lost a 7-year relationship to meth, which is not alcohol. And it was while I was in program. And I didn't have enough autonomy to not be deeply, deeply impacted. And we have a great book on grief, and my sponsor arranged for us to go over that book while some of this was happening. And I was just spinning out. And the obsession of that, the having to literally sit, physically sit on my hands so that I did not get the car keys to go driving through downtown Concord looking for him. Or picking up the phone and texting him over and over and over again, even though I was pretty sure I was blocked. Are you okay? Because if he was okay, then maybe I would be okay. But the not knowing, oh my gosh, it was debilitating some days. And part of what helped me was this image. I know a fellow Al-Anon member, and some of her children are alcoholics. And she had shared in a meeting before I ever got to this point about how she envisions wrapping them, each of them, in a warm blanket. And then she hands them over to higher power. And I latched onto that. But I needed something just a tiny bit more tangible. So I went to Cost Plus and wasn't exactly sure what I was looking for, but maybe something like a unicorn or a rainbow to signify my friend. And what I found instead, besides the unicorn, was a little Guatemalan worry doll that was already wrapped in a little blanket, just like my friend had been sharing about. And I carried that little doll. He sat on my lap under my seatbelt when I drove. He sat on my keyboard at work, and he stayed with me in my pocket or my purse for months. And over time, it got easier to not have to tell that little doll the things that I would have told my friend. That I was able to move on and develop and cultivate new friendships. Autonomy teaches me how to keep the focus on myself. And I did not have a clue what enmeshment was, partly because I was very blinded by all of it. I mean, that is, good God, that is 5 girls growing up in one house. All of that is enmeshment. But by listening to you guys share, by going to other meetings, I was able to pull apart what that looked like for me. And autonomy teaches me how to be my own person, my own likes and dislikes. I mean, did we really like the A's, or did you like the A's and I just like the A's because we like the A's? Did I really even like that song? Do I like that genre of music, or was it only because you did, that I did, that we did? I got to figure out what I liked and did not like, what my hobbies could be without you. Today I can vote, even in my own relationship, and I've been married for almost 20 years. I can vote differently than my partner. And before Al-Anon, growing up in the household that I did, that would not even have entered my mind that we could do things differently and that would be okay. I can do a lot of that now because you've taught me what it is to be me without you. And that was a really tough pill to swallow, and sometimes still is. I also practice tradition 7. In fact, I was just talking about that earlier today. So going back to the little Guatemalan Ori doll, I actually ended up getting myself one. This is not the one that I used for my friend. I couldn't find the one for my friend, and I looked for that before I came out tonight. And that's not a terrible thing. I have moved on. I don't know where that little doll is, but it didn't make me spin out because if the doll can't be found, then maybe he is suffering, which is definitely where I would have gone before. But that would have been a sign or something. I don't know where it is. It'll show up eventually. But this one represents me. And this time, I take the little doll when I'm struggling. And for the last couple of weeks, I have been struggling. There have been some altercations that I have witnessed at work that I'm not used to. And so it's caused a lot of upheaval. And I don't do well with some of that because I didn't have coping skills that showed me how to show up for myself before I got here. So I check in with her. She represents who I am when I need to be taken care of. And since you all preach about self-care, I get to ask her what it is that she needs right now. If she needs to rest, if she needs to reach out, if she needs to read some more literature, if she needs to write to God, any of those things, I check in instead of just bearing down and going through the motions because I don't have to do that anymore. In our book, it says, how has Tradition 7 helped me to become emotionally independent while staying connected and compassionate in my relationships with others when I can show up as fully myself? And when I can gently decline your contributions as to who you think I should be for the day. And it can also allow me to live and let live, to let you be you without crossing that boundary. And it also teaches me that I am not me based solely on my abilities or productivity, that I don't have to show up to work every day as the perfect one, the best worker. I don't have to do that. Or at Thanksgiving dinner as the broken one, which is what I have been labeled as. But I don't have to show up and be that. I could surprise you and not be the broken one this year. And I have. That I don't always have to be the fixer in all of my relationships. I don't know why I ever thought that that was only ever my job. It is not. It is not. Also, Tradition 5. Which is my primary purpose, which also helps me keep the focus on myself. What happens when life does not turn out the way that I thought it was going to? I don't know if any of you have had a dream, like a life dream, that got squashed. Mine was not actually to be a flying trapeze artist. It was to be a mom. And instead, I got very sick, had to have a surgery, and that got taken off the table. And then adoption got taken off the table. And all of this happened while I was in program. And I had to figure out what I was going to do next. Because what I planned to do for the next 20 to 50 years was no longer on the table. And it was devastating. And I got to do a lot of work around that as well. But it is to be of service. For me, that is my primary purpose, that I can be a light in a dark place, that even if I'm not doing service here or in a meeting, that I can be a light to my sisters because none of them is in recovery and they should all definitely be in recovery. That if I have a coworker who is dealing with the loss of a parent, I can be supportive in that. I can be light in a dark place. Circus is one of the darkest places that I have ever been. And I did not know that from Big Top Pee Wee. That was not evident to me. But it is the land of misfit toys. These are the kids that did not get picked first for anything. And somehow we collectively gather and find circus. I don't know what that says about me, But they continued to invite me to circus gatherings, like outside of circus. And it isn't because of any, I'm not the best at any of the circus stuff, trust me, I'm not. So it isn't for that. It's because they want to get a little warm by the light. And when I have God, I am bringing that with me. In fact, there's that breath space between what comes out of my mouth and what goes into any listener's ears. There's that breath space, and that's where God intervenes all the time, if I remember, if I turn it over. Even for tonight, I have a script, and none of this even came together until maybe a couple days ago, because I really wanted to talk about circus specifically, but that wasn't the topic. And so I kind of struggled with that, trying to make it work, and it wasn't really working. And then on a drive home from work, I was listening to some random podcast, and the guy that was talking on this podcast talked about circus, specifically flying trapeze. And it was the sign that I didn't even know that I needed. And then I thought, you know, this is what I'm supposed to talk about. And even though I won't say 100% sure, somebody may shock me after this, I'm pretty sure most of you, if not all of you, have never done flying trapeze or been a circus student. And you can come up and talk to me afterwards, and I will believe you. But you still get it. And it isn't because I'm a great speaker. It is because God intervenes in the breath space, and you are able to hear what you're supposed to hear. And I just have to suit up and show up and do a little service, even if I find it terrifying. Service for me is any time, any place, and I am always looking for opportunities, even if it's when I'm in a rush and the barista looks really stressed out, like maybe she's been crying. I have been known to ask if you're doing okay. Are you really okay? Because you look like you could use a tissue. And I, in other meetings, have been known as Kleenex girl. Like I am really good. I am good at getting the Kleenex and putting my hand on your shoulder and letting you know that it's okay that you get a little emotional in a meeting. Program has changed the way that I talk to myself. It's changed my marriage. It's changed my relationship with my parents in a way that I could not have predicted or maybe even wanted, but it's what I want now. It's changed the way I drive, for sure. And if you stick around long enough and you go to enough meetings, you'll hear me talk about my driving. It has changed my quality of life and knocked it out of the park. Things that I would never have dreamed of are possible because I'm here. I am in Al-Anon. We practice the principles in all our affairs. And even though my grandfather has been gone for a few years now, and I don't have any active alcoholism in my family, it's everywhere outside my family, but not directly in it, I still get to take what I learn from here. And I get to practice it at the store when I'm standing in line. And you definitely did not have 15 items or less in your cart. I know, because I'm counting and I get to practice the principles. And I could go on with like a million other examples. I won't, but I think you get what I'm saying. And when I forget, you guys remind me, you encourage me, you support me. I am a grateful Al-Anon member, and I hope that I can do that for you. Thank you.